Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Ministry of Finance Second Quarter 2003 Report Conference Call. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for your questions and comments following today's presentation. It is now my pleasure to introduce your host, Mr. Andres Conesa. Sir, the floor is yours.
Good morning. Welcome to Mexico's Ministry of Finance Second Quarter 2003 Results Conference Call. First, we will start with a brief description of the recent macroeconomic developments. Second, I will describe the main results regarding public finances and public debt, and then we will proceed to a question and answer section. In terms of the macroeconomic update, we have a complete figures for the supply side for the first 2 months of the second quarter for April and May. During the second quarter of the year, it was marked by mixed signals regarding the evolution of the global economy. On the one hand, the lower uncertainty associated with the conflict in the Middle East promoted a recovery in consumer confidence, a rebound of international equity markets, and a significant decline in oil price volatility. On the other, the manufacturing sector in the U.S. economy remained weak. The levels of capacity utilization continue to be well below average levels, and the unemployment rate also in the U.S. economy continued to increase. This persistent sluggishness in the U.S. industrial sector translated into a real annual decline of 5.2% in Mexico's manufacturing production during the April-May period. In contrast, those industrial subsectors more closely linked to domestic demand continued to grow during the first 2 months of the second quarter. In particular, the construction and the electricity, gas, and water sectors posted positive real rates of growth of 0.8 and 1%, respectively. The other two important components of supply are the livestock and the services sector, which both of them continue to grow during April and May. Activity in the agriculture and livestock sector increased at a real annual rate of 1.7%, while the services sector expanded at a real annual rate of 0.9%, supported by the upbeat performance of the transportation and the financial services sector. In this context, taking together all these results, overall activity in the Mexican economy declined 0.5% during the April-May period of 2003 compared to the same period of 2002. As we've emphasized in several occasions, the figures for the second quarter were adversely affected by seasonal effects from the Eastern week and due to May's holiday calendar. In particular, during the April-May period of 2003, there were three less working days than during the same period of 2002. The weakness of economic activity had an adverse effect on labor markets. In particular, the total number of workers affiliated to the Mexican Social Security Institute, which measures the behavior of formal employment, decreased by around 2,000 workers during the second quarter of 2003. The unfavorable performance of the labor market had in turn a negative impact on retail sales. In particular, the annual growth rate of retail sales slowed down from 3.6% in the first quarter of the year to 0.4% in the first 2 months of the second quarter. The inflation rate resumed its downward trend. As a result, the annual rate of growth of consumer prices stood at 4.27% at the end of June of this year. Core inflation, which measures inflationary pressures more accurately over the medium term, recorded an annual increase of 3.6% at the end of the first half of this year. These results are consistent with the central bank's medium-term objective of 3.0% plus minus 1 percentage point. During the second quarter of the year, also domestic financial markets reported favorable results. The short-term interest rate, the 28-day CETES, averaged 6.24%, which is more than 250 basis points lower than in the first quarter of the year. The peso-dollar exchange rate appreciated close to 3% with respect to the previous quarter, while the Mexican stock index registered a gain of close to 20% during the period. In this context, the perception of Mexico's country risks also show a favorable evolution during the second quarter of the year, as evidenced by the decrease of sovereign spreads from 290 basis points at the end of March to 237 basis points at the end of June. On the external front, the trade deficit for the first 6 months of the year amounted to $1.6 billion, which is close to 50% lower than in the same period of 2002. Moving now to public finances, I would like to highlight the following points. The public sector overall balance accumulated a surplus of 62.2 billion pesos, which is 147% higher in real terms than the surplus registered in the same period of 2002. Similarly, the public sector primary balance, which is defined as total public sector revenues less expenditures other than interest payments on the public debt, registered a surplus of close to 169 billion pesos during the first 6 months of 2003, which is 28.9% higher in real terms than the figure for last year. These positive results were driven by temporary factors. For example, on the revenue side, the favorable developments of the price of the Mexican oil mix in international markets contributed to higher oil revenues, and also we registered higher non-recurrent revenues than in the first half of 2002. The recent Supreme Court ruling that declared unconstitutional the substitute tax to the salary credit and the modification to some fiscal laws approved by Congress that were not incorporated to the revenue law for 2003, its impact was not incorporated, could have a negative effect on tax collection for the remainder of the year. Overall, total revenues stood at 805.6 billion pesos during the period January-June, which is 14.3% higher in real terms than in the same period of the previous year. Among them, oil-related revenues were 22 billion pesos higher than originally programmed, and non-tax revenues were close to 13 billion pesos higher than expected. Non-oil tax revenues increased 7% in real annual terms, driven by an important increase in value-added tax collection, which was close to 15% in real terms. Finally, the revenues of the public entities under direct budgetary control other than Pemex grew at a real annual rate of 13% during the first 6 months of the year. Taking all together, revenues for the first half were 50 billion pesos higher than the amount projected for the period, which was published in the official gazette at the end of January of this year. On the expenditure side, these public sector expenditures increase at a real annual rate of 9.6%. And this rate, as was the case with income, was also affected by some extraordinary factors. For example, transfers to states and municipalities, which are allocated in item 33 of the budget, the seasonality of these transfers change with respect to previous periods. That increased the growth rate of this item in the budget, especially those funds which are located in item 33 related to education and health. Secondly, the increase in expenditures also reflects the modification of the expenditure calendar of the so-called PAFEF, which means a program to support the strengthening of federal entities. Its seasonality within the year was changed due to a request of the federal entities to promote implementation of infrastructure projects in the states. Additionally, the dynamics of expenditures reflects the allocation of close to 9 billion pesos to the capitalization of Banobras. This operation was described in the conference call we had for the first quarter of this year. And as it was explained in that occasion, this operation does not have an impact on the public sector balance because it's offset exactly by an increase in revenues that the federal government received from the same bank. Finally, the evolution of public sector expenditures during the first 6 months of the year reflects several extraordinary outlays. For example, non-recurrent resources were allocated to the Federal Electoral Institute for the organization of the elections that were held in July. Also, we allocated some funds for a trust we created to transfer to the state for infrastructure investments, and also some expenditure took place related to the voluntary retirement program, which has been in place since this year, as well as to cover a higher than anticipated cost of energy for the electricity generation paid by the Federal Electricity Commission to Pemex. In all, public finance results for the first half of the year are consistent with the overall deficit equivalent to half a point of GDP approved by Congress for 2003. With respect to public debt, the following factors are the most important. At the end of June of this year, Mexico's total net public sector debt amounted to 24.4% of GDP. This ratio is 1.4 percentage points lower than at the end of the first quarter of the year. This result is attributable to decreases of 0.8 percentage points of GDP in net public external debt and of 0.6 percentage points of GDP in net domestic debt. Among the external debt transactions that took place in the second quarter of 2003, it is worth highlighting those related to Brady bonds repurchases. In particular, during the second quarter of the year, the federal government redeemed its dollar-denominated Brady Park bonds and announced the early prepayment of its remaining Brady Park bonds denominated in some European countries, in some European currencies, in particular Italian liras and German marks. The cancellation of these bonds took place on July 28. With these transactions, the federal government completed the cancellation of all its Brady bond debt. Similarly, I would like to highlight that as part of Mexico's liability management strategy, the federal government issued on April of this year $1.5 billion of 5.5-year notes, which paid an interest rate in dollars of 4.6%, and also a U.S. A bond denominated in dollars for $1 billion 30-year with an interest rate in dollars of 7.5. Both of these placements included collective action clauses. On the domestic debt front, the federal government contributed to meet its financing needs through domestic bond offerings in order to increase the average maturity of its internal debt, improve its maturity profile, reduce the vulnerability of public sector finances to interest rate movements, and develop a benchmark for private sector long-term debt issues. At the end of June of this year, the outstanding amount of net public external debt was $77 billion, which is $1.1 billion higher than at the end of 2002. So far this year, during the first 6 months, the net external indebtedness stands at $99 million. This is consistent with the ceiling approved by Congress for the year, which, as you may remember, is a zero net external indebtedness ceiling for the year as a whole. The outstanding amount of net domestic debt of the federal government at the end of June is 796 billion pesos, which is 25 billion pesos lower than at the end of 2002. As is the case with the public finances, net domestic indebtedness falls during the first 6 months of the year, but then it increases during the second half due to the fact that most of the deficit of the federal government is concentrated during the end of the year, especially during the fourth quarter. With these comments, I conclude this presentation, and we proceed now to the question and answer sections. Thank you.
Would you like to open up the floor for questions?
Yes, please.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question at this time, you may press the number 1 followed by 4 on your telephone keypad. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Once again, that is 1 followed by 4 for any questions or comments at this time. Our first question is coming from Alfredo Thorne of J.P. Morgan. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello, Andres. Thank you very much for the call. A couple of questions. One on the Pidiregas investment. Can you update us how much has been the investment in real terms on Pidiregas year on year? And the second is on the flow of numbers. You mentioned, or I recall in the report you sent, that there has been a lot of seasonal effects behind the weakness in May and obviously in April. Have you had a chance to make corrections for that? It seems, at least with our numbers, it doesn't match, and we have a problem with the first quarter GDP that probably the official number is much weaker than what we get in our estimates.
Thank you, Alfredo. With respect to the investment outlays, we report two measures of investment: first, budgetary investment, and then what we call inversión financiada, which is finance investment, and that's basically the Pidiregas amount. For the first 6 months of the year, budgetary investment stood at 62 billion pesos, while investment driven by Pidiregas stood at 44 billion pesos. So adding the two figures, investment fostered by the public sector, which is both financed by Pidiregas and financing the budget, stood at 100 billion pesos, which is 13% higher in real terms than the comparable figure for the first 6 months of 2002. With respect to the real economy, I didn't understand the question. I don't know if what you mean by the fact that the figures for the first quarter of growth in Mexico do not match your estimates. Can you please repeat it?
No, it's in your report. You make a comment saying that in the May retail sales have been biased by seasonal factors, and I want to know first, what do you mean with that? And the second is that if you have had a chance of revising the first quarter GDP, the seasonally adjusted quarter on quarter.
No, we haven't had a chance to revisit the Q-on-Q seasonal adjusted for the first quarter. Usually, you know that INEGI changes the figures once new information arises. Now that information will come for the second quarter, most likely the series for the year for the previous figures change. What we are expecting is that probably even though growth for the second quarter measured year on year will be lower than that for the first quarter, probably Q on Q seasonally adjusted, we are expecting economic activity. We're expecting that economic activity pick up slightly its pace going from the first to the second quarter. But what I meant by seasonal effects is precisely that the year-on-year comparisons will be much more weaker for the second quarter than for the first one. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you do have a question or a comment, you may press the number 1 followed by 4 on your telephone keypad at this time. There appear to be no further questions. I'll turn the floor back over to you for any further remarks. I'm sorry, I do have one question coming from Gabriela Busurto from Banorte. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello. I would like to ask two questions. First, in the last report that Banco de Mexico emitted regarding the the performance of inflation in the second quarter. It mentioned that the price of gas had been increasing considerably and that that may have an effect on the public finances, and that probably that would that it would be necessary probably to have to stop having the limitation of the price increasing in the near future. How is it very likely that there is going to be an increase in that price, given that it is affecting public finances, and to what extent it is affecting public finances? And the second question is, at the beginning of the year, the Minister of Finance mentioned that considering that there were there was an additional income due to high oil prices, that additional income might be used, well, one part of that would be used for investment. To what extent that is going to be used to investment, when, and to what extent that would affect the GDP, considering that it's like that there already have been considerable revisions downwards.
Thank you for the question. Related to the first one about the price of gas, the price of gas follows a rule, a moving average rule, related to the to its international reference. What I can comment is that overall, the increase in administrative prices, those that the federal government has control of during the first 6 months of the year, the inflation of this sub-index was 4.2%, which was lower than the 4.3% of growth in the overall consumer price index. With respect to the additional income, what we did is that in February of this year, we made a projection for the year as a whole, and we estimated that of additional net income, including oil-related income, tax-related income, non-tax-related income, of 14 billion pesos. The rules of the budget for 2003 are that 50% of this net income flows to states and municipalities for additional investment, 25% goes to the oil stabilization fund, and 25% has to be used to pay liabilities to reduce the deficit. Based on that projection, we already started to allocate, to transfer to the states, 7 billion pesos. As of today, I can tell you that in the trust that I mentioned during the presentation, around 3 billion pesos have been already channeled to some of Mexico's federal entities. What we will do is wait to see how the public finances evolve at least for the third quarter, and close to the end of the year, we will make a final adjustment. If it turns out that this net additional income is higher than 14 billion, we will transfer those funds to the states. If it's lower than 14 billion, we have signed contracts with these states that they need to reimburse the money to the federal government in case that happens. But we will not know that at least until the for the next 3 or 4 months. Thank you.
Thank you.
As another reminder, you may press the number 1 followed by 4 on your touch tone telephone at this time. Our next question is coming from Luis Arcentales of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead with your question.
Within a context of modest pace in economic activity to date, what are the key drivers behind the 15% real increase in value-added tax collections, which are traditionally consumption-linked?
Thank you for the question. There are two main things that happened during 2003 that were not present last year related to value-added tax collection. First, the first factor was already in place since last year, but we estimate has had most of its impact during this year, and that means that the way firms pay value-added tax changed from an accrual basis to a cash flow basis, and that has improved compliance. The second important factor, which now is in place since this year, is that individuals and corporations are paying value-added tax on a monthly basis instead of a quarterly basis that used to be in place before. Those two factors are the main drivers of the real increase in value-added tax, because as you rightly mentioned, given that economic activity has been weak, value-added tax collection because of that reason has not increased. Thank you.
Our next question is coming from Eric Torres of JP Morgan. Please go ahead with your question.
Hi, good morning. We've heard a lot in the press about the possibility that the Congress may implement to change in the tax reform, switching the VAT from moving food and medicine from being in the zero tax bracket into being tax exempt. What would be the estimate? Do you have any estimate about how much would this represent in case that the finally there's any kind of reform that makes this change to happen again?
Well, it's hard to give you an estimate because it depends on how you move from a zero tax to an exempted tax. The main difference being whether you exempt all these goods during all the production process, or whether you charge a general tax rate for all the processes except for the final one, which for the final consumer would be tax exempt. To give you a figure, for instance, we in this year's budget we estimate that tax returns or tax credits to those firms that produce goods that are taxed at zero stand at around 90 billion pesos, 90. This figure includes export goods, which in any case, if this change happens, which I don't know the possibilities of this moving forward, according to our free trade agreements, exports will continue to be taxed at zero. We cannot change that. So out of the 90 billion, 30 billion pesos at least are related to exports. What I encourage you to see in our webpage, we have a document called Presupuesto de Gastos Fiscales, Budgetary Expenses, where we do some exercises about the different impacts of eliminating the special regimes that our current tax system has, including the zero tax rate, including some special regimes in terms of income tax collection. And there you can find some estimates of the different impacts, although the figures are for 2000, I guess for 2001, and some of them are for 2002. And we hope that we are expecting to provide an update of that document soon, now that we have the figures for 2003 as a whole. Thank you.
Thanks.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll turn the floor back over to you for any further remarks.
Thank you for joining this conference call, and we look forward to see you in our next conference call for the third quarter results. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This does conclude today's teleconference. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and have a wonderful day.